It's Friday, July 18th. J.J. Watt says players want to play. Derrick Henry gets a new deal because no one learns their lesson. Dak Prescott lacks security, and college football has new coronavirus guidelines. I'm Jeff Schwartz, and this is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. There's a lot to cover here, and a lot of movement has happened between the last time we recorded this, Monday, came out Tuesday, and now on Friday morning. There are protocols put in place by the NFL and the NFLPA. They have been, I believe they have been sort of agreed upon. Nothing's final, so it's actually final. But let's start here really quick. J.J. Watt tweeted out something that I thought was pretty insightful today. Number one, we want to play. We know you want to play. We know this. I've said this for a while now. The reason why I believe the NFL is coming back is because they want to play. The owners want to play. We want to be as safe as possible. Agreed. Great point. We have not received a single valid infectious disease emergency plan from any team or the league. That is something obviously needs to be worked on. And I don't have a great answer for why that's not done so far. We do not know if there'll be preseason games. We'll get back to that in just a second. We do not know if there'll be daily testing, semi-daily testing, etc. This is one thing that we have got to do at least every other day, but I would prefer, I feel safer as a player doing this every day. The NFL has got to keep its players, obviously, safe as possible, but also be able to trace if anyone does come in contact with COVID, gets COVID, shows up to the facility with COVID. And we know that there's a 5 to 7 day incubation period. So it could take time if you test someone, let's say, every other day. Maybe you miss it, maybe you don't. But if you test every day, it'd be hard to miss someone testing positive coronavirus. I think the NFL has got to go all out and making sure that everyone is tested as soon as they show up in the morning. And then you go about your day knowing that everyone is negative. Now, of course, they're all false positives. I get that. False negatives as well. But I would feel great if I was a player that every day. Gabe and I talked about this on Tuesday's show. It should be this way anyways. And I get there's a shortage of testing. That is a concern of mine of making sure that, you know, we have enough tests for everyone around the country, not just sports leagues holding it. He tweeted this a little earlier today, so we have an answer for the next one. We don't know how a potential positive COVID test could affect contracts and roster spots. This has been answered. The league intends to change the injured reserve rules to create a COVID-19 classification. Players who test positive will be placed on the COVID-19 list for 3 weeks, creating a roster spot that would then be filled with a player who is negative for the virus. The players on the COVID-19 list would be paid their normal salaries. After 3 weeks, there's a question mark of what happens. Put them back on the roster. Maybe there's a ramp-up period for a week. Sort of like if you are on short-term injured reserve, which I've been on, you know, I think it was week 8, you can practice again. They can activate you kind of anytime in that practice window. So maybe there's a week of activation here, of practice, kind of getting someone back at gypsy and their lung capacities after this as well. And, you know, this is I like. This is a good step for the NFL to acknowledge your players are going to be sick. They should be paid and it should not affect their future contracts, which that is hard to know. But this way, they still get paid the normal salaries if they are on the COVID IR, because we're going to need that this year. Guys are going to test positive. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. And according to the NFLPA, 72 players across the league have tested positive for the virus as of July 10th. So those 72 players would have to go on that short-term COVID IR list for 3 weeks. They'd obviously go through a protocol process of testing, negative testing, and being able to get back onto their team. So I like that part of it. We're slowly moving in the right direction. Nothing has been agreed. This is back to JJ Watt, I should say. Nothing has been agreed upon regarding what training camp will actually look like and how the ramp-up period will work. So I'm going to tie this into preseason games. I'm beginning to wonder if the players really want to play the preseason at all. And if they don't, more power to them. They're using this opportunity to not play the preseason game. They feel, and look, and rightfully so, I think, that why waste time playing in a game? Why waste energy? Why waste a chance to get sick, is a better way to put it, for a meaningless game? And yes, that is a fair way to look at this. But I think the players are losing a lot more here than the owners are losing. If time is delayed for the start of the season and we miss a game or two because we can't get back to work, and the reason why we might miss a week or two is for a 48-day training camp, which is what was agreed upon by the Joint Medical Committee, and now the NFL's kind of backing away from that. That's 3 weeks of phase 1, 10 days of phase 2, then into kind of this integration, right? And that really does not leave enough time to play preseason games or really start the regular season on time. We know the NFL has kind of scheduled things that could chop up the first 2 weeks of the season. But here's why we lose in this situation. And I know that we assume the risk by playing. So that definitely, I'm kind of throwing that out. Like, we know that, you know, that's the case. But let's assume everyone's going to be healthy. It's just, it's bad to assume that. But nonetheless, let's just throw the health out for a second. If we miss 2 weeks of the season, the owners will be fine. They're billionaires. They'll be fine. Guess who's not making that money back? Us, the NFL players. We're not making that money back. When the cap goes down next year, guess who suffers? We suffer, right? We suffer. The NFLPA had the option to come in 2 weeks early. That would have been Monday. And they said no. And look, I get it. Like, if I was playing, would I want to come in 2 weeks early? No. But this two-week ramp-up period could have started being negotiated Memorial weekend, let's say. A little later than that, maybe middle June. You could have come in July. This would have been July, what, it would have been July 13th. You do a two-week kind of OTA period. You're in 4 days a week, 4 hours a day. You're doing testing, kind of getting back in the swing of things, getting used to social distancing. Then you start training camp and you have another week of ramp-up period. Then you start practicing a little bit. And you get those practices in and you start the season on time. Look, preseason, whatever. If they want to play it, they don't want to play it. More power to them. I mean, there's three reasons why they wouldn't play the preseason. I think all are wrapped into them, which is obviously fearful of getting sick. Secondly, body's not ready. And three, why play if we don't have to play? All right, those are the three reasons that they're not doing it. And it makes, look, again, if I was a player, I would be on the side of not playing the preseason either. But I'm sitting back now looking at this as a fan of the game, as a former player. Someone's like, look, guys, we should have came in 2 weeks early and kind of had this process now instead of trying to do it July 28th. Because July 28th, let's say that everything gets done July 28th, you're going to show up. You're going to have multiple players test positive for COVID on the first day of this ramp-up period. And so delay their progress getting on the field even longer. So I don't know if we played this quite right. I appreciate the health and safety part of this as well. I hope that they're looking at the possibility of how they could be affected as far as how you get sick, the viral load, what could happen to your body. I agree looking off every corner. But also there's something here that we'll end this conversation with real quick, is there's still so much unknown. Davis Cantor, an agent who represents numerous players, said this: the upshot of everything that's gone on thus far is that no one knows anything. There's no clear line of information about what's going to happen, he said. What happens on these conference calls between the players and the union, is one question leads to 50 more questions. The players don't know the answers. The agents don't know the answers. The union doesn't know the answers. So no one knows much right now. I'm hoping we get to a better place. But I do think there has to be a little bit of give from the players. Like, you might enter camp with not everything completely buttoned up. And I'm not sure you should do that. I just don't know if you can expect there to have answers to all your questions before you go back to play. If you go back late, you're going to start late and you're going to lose money. And if that's okay, fine. If look, like, when I was playing, if I would have taken two less weeks of pay to make sure I was healthy, probably would have done it. But I hope we understand that this is a distinct possibility if you're a player. When with this on this topic, Justin Pugh, longtime NFL player, played them in New York, he's with the Cardinals now, said to all my NFL brothers, says on Twitter, at Justin Pugh, approach the season with your money as if it may be canceled. Prepare for the worst case scenario. We may get through a few weeks and have to cancel. No one knows what's to come. Don't get caught being naive. The virus is real. That's it right there, right? Like, you have to prepare. You're going to miss some games or that miss the season, but I hope the players get back. We're making slow progress. Remember, deadline spur actions. July 28th is the deadline, right? When camp starts for the full team. Rookies report very soon. Ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. Still a lot to do. All right, let's move on to a favorite subject of mine, running backs in the NFL. Let me preface this by saying, I played with Adrian Peterson in 2012, okay? He had 2,000 whatever yards, 9 yards away from the all-time record. I played with Jamal Charles, who is the number one all-time leader in yards per carry in NFL history. Still is, 5.5. He's unbelievable. I played with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, double trouble, all right? 2009 set the record, still the record, for the first tandem to have 1,100 yards each in a season. Oh, never happened before. Still has not happened again. So I know the value of running backs. They made my career. I get it. But guess what? You can't pay them. The Titans extended Derrick Henry at the franchise deadline. And the Titans, in my opinion, had bungled the entire offseason. They bungled it. Ryan Tannehill had an 10-game stretch. He was out of this world. Much better than ever in his career. The Titans gave him a 3-year deal for $91 million. The way the deal breaks down, for all the people that don't understand the way contracts work, I'll make it very clear. The way the deal breaks down, it's either a 1-year deal you pay two, okay, the way the contract is set up because of the bonuses, because of the guaranteed money, or he plays 3 years because his 2022 contract gets guaranteed on the fifth day of the 2021 league year, okay? So you paid him a ton of money for a guy that probably is not winning you a Super Bowl, and even if he is average doesn't solidify that contract. It doesn't make sense for that contract, but you paid him. I get it. I get paying him. I sort of get it. Paying Derrick Henry makes no sense. Here's why. The first 8 weeks of last season, he ranked 34th in yards per carry, 11th in broken tackles per carry, 8th in yards after contact per attempt, 9th in rushing yards, and 9th in rushing touchdowns. Then Ryan Tannehill became the quarterback. Started throwing the ball deep. Started hitting long touchdowns. Long play action passes. Spraying the field out. And guess what? Derrick Henry's running wild now. So is that because of Derrick Henry or because of Ryan Tannehill? And defense is playing for Tannehill. I said this at the time. I will not back out of this. I watched the film. New England, Tennessee playoff game, wild card round. New England played two high safeties. Two high safeties equals run the ball, right? Only 7 guys in the box. And Tennessee ran the ball. They scored on 2 of 9 possessions on offense. That's not good. It's not good. 182 yards. Who cares? They didn't score points. The point is scoring points. So we've seen these contracts not work out. Has Zeke Elliott worked out yet? It's still a first year, but has it worked out? Did Todd Gurley work out? Did David Johnson work out? Did DeMarco Murray 7 years ago work out? The Titans paid Chris Johnson a bunch of money. How'd that work out? Christian McCaffrey's not going to work out. We went over this before. Highest receiving yards games on all losses, blowout losses, mind you. So we continue to see that these don't pay off and teams continue to do it. Derrick Henry's the exception. He's the exception, guys. He's the exception. And I want to make it very clear. I don't root against players getting paid. I'm very happy Derrick Henry got paid. Supremely happy Derrick Henry got paid. Every player should get as much money as they can get and get life-changing money and get all your due in the NFL. But I look at this from a kind of a front office angle. Like, I'm not a player anymore. I'm a former player, but I look at this as a team building. And what would I do if I'm running a team? Because we all think about this, right? We all run a fantasy team. We run a team in our head. We yell at our front office for not doing the right things, our favorite teams. We all want to play GM. But the data is showing that running backs are not very valuable in this game anymore. They're not. The Niners last year had a high paid running back room. That's with the fullback was making $4 million a year. They paid Jared McKinnon 2 years ago. He played 0 snaps. The Niners went with undrafted free agent, Tevin Coleman making $1 million. The Chiefs, Damien Williams. Like, you don't have to have these high-priced running backs to get production on offense. This is a passing league. And the Titans will come and go as Ryan Tannehill comes and goes. Plain and simple. And it hurts me to say this because I love the run game. I love running backs. They made my career. But it'd be obtuse. Just watched Shawshank Redemption, by the way. Fantastic movie. My favorite movie ever. Why are you being so obtuse? Goes to hold for 2 months. So you'd be obtuse. I'd be obtuse. I'd have to go to hole for 2 months if I kept ignoring the data that's right in front of me that shows all the data about running backs and the value, EPA, expected points average per play, and how they just do not, they don't add up to victories. Oh, I forgot, Le'Veon Bell, by the way. Le'Veon Bell. Thank you, Zuri, for including all the notes in there. I didn't even look at that one. And then look at next year, by the way. Next year, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, James Conner, Phillip Lindsay. Out. Out on all of them. It's harsh. I get it. It's not fun. Not fun to talk about. Sucks. It's harsh. But all right, let's move on to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Did not get a deal done for the franchise tag. it's very simple here. Dallas offered him a 5-year deal for between 33 and 34, 35 million, like 110 guaranteed, I believe. And Dak Prescott won a 4-year deal. That seems very clear as to be the reason why this didn't get done. It was the number of years on this. So if you look at the franchise tag the next 2 years, let's say Dak plays under it, $70 million. I get what he's doing, right? He's just trying to maximize himself, get himself to free agency again, and he's holding firm to his principles. But the Cowboys bungled this 100%. It's all in the Cowboys. Should have prioritized paying him 2 years ago. They paid Zeke and Jaden Smith and guys that, again, not valuable to winning. Off the ball linebacker. Jaden Smith's great. Great story. But Zeke Elliott, it's not going to help you win games like Dak Prescott is. So the Cowboys and Dak did not work out a deal. Over 1 year on the deal. My conclusion has been this from the beginning, from February. I believe it's the first time I wrote this for SB Nation. RIP SB Nation. I'm not sure it's going to be the back. Football starts again. Feel bad for those people I worked with. They're fantastic. I had a great time working there. So this situation screamed to me, the Washington football team and Cousins. Now, different situations, because that one, there was a lot of contention between the sides. No one really wanted to sign a long-term contract there. I think Dak and Dallas sort of did a little bit. But the reason, there's two reasons why I think this never got to be done. One is that the Cowboys just aren't 100% in on Dak. They're not. It's okay. They don't have to be. Because we see all the time that teams break their principles to sign the quarterback they want. The Chiefs signed Pounds to a 12-year deal, right? So Cowboys can break their principle of signing players to 5-year deals, essentially 6-year deals if you include the rookie contract, for their quarterback, right? You have guaranteed security for 4 years under a number. You know what he's making each and every year. You know you have your quarterback now. Now you can't plan past 1 year unless you plan to franchise him next year. The Cowboys have lost money in this, but I believe it's because they're not 100% sold on Dak. I don't know the reasons why. I can't tell you why. Because Dak's a good football player. Can he win a Super Bowl? I'm not quite sure. He gets you close, I think. And they're just not 100% sold on him. The dead giveaway, number two, by the way, the dead giveaway for me about how they're not totally sold on him. And everyone thinks this is crazy for me to say, but it's 100% accurate. When Mike McCarthy got the job, the old Green Bay Packers head coach, it was reported, and he said this, he did not call Dak Prescott for over a week after getting the job. That to me is BS. That to me shows me that Mike doesn't want Dak to be his quarterback for long term. How do you not call your franchise quarterback, the guy you're primarily brought in to coach, to mentor, to teach, you don't call him for 1 week? 1 week! You can't find 5 minutes in the car, in your hotel. 5 minutes, call your franchise quarterback. Matt Rhule signed with the Panthers here in Charlotte. Everyone knew Cam was gone. Called Cam anyways the first day he got the job. You call your franchise quarterback right away. Do you not think part of the interview process was him in Jerry Jones' house talking to Jerry about what he's going to do with Dak Prescott? It had to be part of the conversation. A little sleepover, milking cookies at night, talking about Dak Prescott, maybe smoking a cigar, some whiskey, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, talking about Dak. That just tells me they're not all in on Dak. And maybe it's because McCarthy wants to see him a year in a system. Maybe then he fits a system, which he sort of, I don't know, does. So I don't know the reason why, but I saw this coming a mile away. I told you it was going to happen. Cowboys fan told me I sucked. So all the Titans fans, you tell me I suck. I ended up being right. Make you a smart football fan. I'm right a lot more than I'm wrong on big picture stuff like this. Might be wrong picking a game every now and then, right? It's hard to gamble, hard to get them right. But big picture NFL stuff, man, I'm on it, okay? We've seen all the time. All right, let's end today with two things. The NCAA issues guidelines for COVID-19. Where you been, NCAA? Where you been? NCAA swoops in, issues guidelines that aren't even requirements. NCAA has said, we don't want to be part of this, and now they're coming back and trying to be part of this. And I mean, simple NCAA to just basically abdicate duty when duty's needed and not actually do anything. So their protocols, once a week testing, 14-day isolation for positive, mandatory 14-day quarantine for contacts, details on game season cancellations. The one thing that strikes me here, mandatory 14-day quarantine for contacts. That could shut down your entire team. That will not be a protocol that is used in college football. Because that will shut down your whole team. Shut down your whole team. So thank you for coming to the party, NCAA. This is the exact reason why conferences are on their own. On my Pac-12 show, we talked to an athletic director at Cal. I asked him basically, like, are you taking guidance from the NCAA or your conference? And he said in the nicest way possible, from the conference. That's why conference-only schedule is happening, guys. You can control your testing, your protocols. Once a week is not enough time to test. I believe they also said you have to test 72 hours out before competition. What happens, this is one of those, go back to when I talked about Davis, the Davis Cantor quote about, David Cantor, I should say, quote about not knowing anything and just asking more questions. What happens if you test someone 72 hours out and the results just don't come back? Just don't come back on time. We're seeing lags in testing. Why would any, well, I know the money's involved here, but why would it be any different than, you know, than it would, you know, for anyone else, right? Right. I mean, these labs are backed up. They're backed up. If you can't like test on campus, you have to send it out. LabCorp, whoever else, Quest Diagnostics, send it out. What if it doesn't come back in time to play? These are all those questions you can't answer. There's no answer for that. I guess the player doesn't play, I guess. I mean, I wish I could give you a great answer, but that appears to be what could happen at sometimes. I mean, look, this is a very different example, but like, I got an antibody test on Monday. They told me to get back in 2 days. They're like, oh, we have a delay. We're going to get back to you on time. Delays everywhere in testing. And this is something that I kind of do worry about. And I'm more and more concerned about NCAA season happening. There's so many moving parts. So many moving parts. Well, I hope college football is back. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I hope it's back. I really do. That would be, obviously I want it back. It's my job. I'd love to have it back. So I hope it happens. It's so many moving parts. I'm just not sure it will, but I hope it does. Let's be positive still. I hope it is. All right, guys. Thank you for sticking with me today. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Rate, review, subscribe. We have some fun changes to the podcast coming up. We're going to have Just Short Smarter Than You 2.0. It's coming up soon. We'll announce all the details. Still going to hear me. Still going to hear Gabe. We have a lot more guests. It's a lot more fun, I promise. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday.